give him praise. Give him praise. Man, I'm going to tell you what, guys. There were some fights last night out in Vegas, man. And there was this guy from Ireland that came. And they probably, I don't know, 20, 30,000 people flew all the way from Ireland to watch a fight. And they screamed their lungs out. And that's an okay thing to see somebody knock somebody out. I guess that's all right. But I'm telling you what, my King, my Lord, my Savior died for me. And I don't think anybody ought to out-scream me for a fight or a ball game or a car race or a fashion show or a movie or a Little League game. I think the loudest scream we ever hear ought to be the name of Jesus. I think the mountains ought to shake when we scream his name. I think hell ought to shake when we scream his name. And I think it ought to be on our voice and on our mind and on our spirit with all we have. So one more time. One, two, three. Give him praise. Hallelujah. I got whiplash. I got whiplash. What happened? Where'd y'all go on me for? I'm really trying to figure out what to do right now. There's some changes coming around here. And there need to be changes coming around here. If we get stagnant and if we get complacent, we won't grow. And I've seen too many Christians that stop growing. And they presuppose they know everything at a certain point, and they stop growing, and they stop questioning their faith, and they start questioning their calling and what God's doing. God is doing some things around here. He is raising up people. And what's been on my spirit a lot lately is that some of these other guys who have a voice are going to start sharing it more and more. I mean, I hope that's okay to say. That's on my heart. That it's time for some of these guys who have an awesome, I mean, who God uses already in awesome ways. And that's not to say that the only way you can minister to God is up here on a Sunday morning. In fact, it's probably the least way to minister to the gospel. But I do feel like you're going to see more and more of that. Hope that's okay. I think that God has sent some talented, anointed people. In fact, I'm probably the least talented preacher in this building. And I mean that. But I just have to go with what the Holy Spirit puts on my heart and pray that blesses you. So God is calling up people. And I've challenged some people to start coming with a word in their spirit every Sunday. Because that's what I do. I don't take Sundays off. I don't take Wednesdays off. I don't take Mondays off. What I mean by that, not that we don't all have bad days, but what I mean by that is that's where growth comes from. You come every service prepared to deliver the gospel. That's one thing this old eagle did to me a long time ago. He said, "We got a deal. I'm never going to tell you when you minister." And I said, "I'm good with that because it kind of keeps me out of the mix." But then he also said the other part of that deal, you be ready to minister every service. So you don't take services off. You don't come in saying, "Well, I'm just thinking about the ball game now. I know I'm cool." Because you have to be ready at all times. And when you're ready at all times, even for experienced ministers, it makes you grow. It makes you grow. And so God has blessed us so tremendously. And, you know, we need you. We need you. We need you. This warrior needs you. This crazy guy needs you. I'm going to be traveling some coming up, and I need you. I need to know, and I know we've got the most awesome senior pastor in the world, but I still need to know that people in this building got his back when I'm not here. I need to know that there's other warriors help sling some swords, because I'm on a journey too, guys. I'm on a journey too, and I don't have any more syllabus really than you do sometimes. I don't really have any more advanced warning sometimes than some of you guys. I'm just following the King. And I'm actually trying to do that right now as I try to figure out what to do at this moment. But in the coming weeks, you're going to see some of these warriors throwing some swords around. And I can't wait. And I can't wait. Having said that, I asked some of them to be ready today, but I got to obey the Holy Spirit. And I hope that's okay. I think it is. I know it is, or I wouldn't be in this situation. I wouldn't trust people with that if I didn't know that they're okay with going with whichever way the Holy Spirit goes. So I felt like, honestly, last Sunday I said what I needed to say for a while. And then starting about 12 o'clock last night, God had other plans. And stayed up most of the night, honestly, listening to God. It started one word. The word was called wait. The word was wait. And so with that, from that word, I went to the Psalms, and I started reading those beautiful things, those beautiful poems and words from David. And I started thinking, man, if this message, if God isn't speaking to anybody else, he's speaking to me right now. But I believe that God is speaking to other people. I believe other people can relate to being in a season where it feels like you're waiting. To being in a season where it feels like you're stuck. Where it feels like you're in a season of, where am I going? Is anybody, no, you don't raise your hand, but has anybody else ever been there? In a season where you know God's real. You know he's real. And you know he has purpose for you. And you know he has plans for you. But the question is, where am I going right now? When's it coming? And not like a discontentment with a ministry or leadership, because I'll tell you right now, I would go anywhere to fight any battle, any giant with this guy. I would. And I not as far as a ministry, because I believe in you guys, man. You guys are the answer to my, the vision that we had that God put in our soul. You guys are a part of that. You guys mean the world to me. But I mean a discontentment that we as Christians need to keep a little bit sometimes. A dissatisfaction that I'm not going to stop growing and stop moving. I'm just going to stay right here. God never intended us to stay right here. Lost Creek, that property, that wonderful property that Harless worked so hard on and all of you guys in here worked so hard on and pray over, that's just a step. It's not a destination. It's not a final destination. It's a step. And I think sometimes we get caught up on destinations. And sometimes God wants us to understand the journey. I mean, we could, if he really was all about the destination, that's all. The moment we hit an altar and we say a prayer, it would be like, beam me up, Scotty. Come on home. The destination. But how many knows he called us to follow him? That's a journey. And so we're all on a journey. So if somebody could, Cam, could you get me my Bible, buddy? I've got to share this psalm. And then Kelly may, we really may tag team today. I don't know where this is going. This may be quick. Can you hand me that little notepad? I scribbled some things late last night, Cam. If you have your Bible, you can turn to Psalm 27. And as far as we know, this was written by King David. How many know King David? And you can stand if you're able. If you're not able, don't worry about it. It's about your heart, not your posture. Psalm 27. Here we go. The Lord is my light and my salvation. So why should I be afraid? As I read these scriptures, I want you to think about a couple things. I want you to think about what the author of these great psalms, what he must have been thinking, what might have been going on in his life as he was crying out to his God, as he was praising to his God, and he was trying to figure out things in his life. And then I want you to apply that to your life. In my life, as we try to do the same thing on this crazy journey called life. The Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress. protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble when evil people come to devour me? When my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I'm attacked, I will remain confident. The one thing I ask the Lord, the one thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in His temple. For He will conceal me there when troubles come. He will hide me in His sanctuary, and He will place me out of reach on a high rock. Then I will hold my head high above my enemies who surround me. At His sanctuary, I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord with music. Hear me, I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard You say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. Lord, I'm coming. Don't that sound like Peter? Lord, I'm coming. Do not turn Your back on me. Do not reject Your servant in anger. You have always been my helper. Don't leave me now. Don't abandon me, O God, my salvation. Even if my father and my own mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. Teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along the right path, for my enemies are waiting for me. Do not let me fall into their hands, for they accuse me of things I've never done. With every breath, they threaten me with violence. Yet I'm confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. While I'm here in the land of the living, wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. You may be seated. Man, that is some deep, deep stuff from David. I just think about, as you know my style, I think about the humanity of these people. And I think about what sort of things might have been going on in this guy David's life that led him to such an anguish, to such a seeking of God, to such a relatability to us as far as struggling, as far as being surrounded by enemies, as far as anguish, as far as feeling like nobody was with him except God. Don't you see that when I read those Psalms, when I read those scriptures? Can't you see that? God, even if my own father and mother abandon me, You will be with me. God, I don't know if there's anybody else that has my back anymore, but You are alone are enough, God, and You are with me. You've not turned Your back on me, God. You are with me. And so last night as I read that psalm, mostly for my own sake, I thought, God started making me look at the man who wrote that psalm, King David, the most influential figure of the Old Testament. I thought, what a man. He was deep. When you read his psalms, he was deep. He was a man of thought. He had a deep soul. He had passion. He loved. Remember when the ark came? He danced with all of his might. He was a man that really didn't care about other people. I mean, he did, but what I'm saying, he didn't let that affect him. He wasn't controlled. His actions did not become controlled about other people's expectations of him. But he just cared about loving his God. He was a lover of God. He was a man after God's own heart. He had passion in his soul. He burned with passion. He was a lover. He was a singer. He was a man of deep thought. He was a philosopher. He was a man that sought God. Even through all of his mess ups and mistakes and ups and downs, he was always in communication with God, talking about it. That's why he was a man after God's own heart. It's not that he didn't mess up. In fact, he messed up more than just about anybody. In fact, he gives me hope because he messed up a lot. And there's sometimes where repercussions, serious repercussions, sin has consequence, friend. Sin is forgiven. Sin died at the cross, but don't mistake this. Sin always has consequences. But even in the middle of his mess ups, even in the middle of some of the biggest messes, as that big heart of his sometimes got him in trouble, he always was in communication with his God. He didn't run away. He didn't quit on him. That's what encourages me. I've seen people in this ministry for years, and I've seen two types of people, and I've got to move this. This is killing me. I feel like there's a man standing right here. Maybe there is. But I've seen two types of people, and everybody goes through stuff. You're in here, and you got a heartbeat. Feel your heart. Okay, you're going to go through stuff. You're going to go through problems. You're going to go through situations. I'm going to let you down. I'm going to make you mad. He's going to let you down. He's going to make you mad. And even if we don't, you're going to think we did. That's just the human condition. Well, he doesn't give me much attention anymore. Well, he didn't say hi real friendly to me anymore. He didn't respond to my text anymore. You know, that's just human nature. Or there's stuff going to happen in your life and in your families. And there's just stuff that happens in life. You know, one of my favorite theologians, Mike Tyson, said everybody's got a plan until they get hit in the jaw. And you're going to get hit in the jaw. But there's two types of people. The one type of person, they get hit in the jaw, Larry, and they go home and I don't see them again. And if God calls them to another ministry, that's great. I have no problem with that. Go preach on, preacher. Sing on, singer. Praise on, sister. But the problem is that's not always how it goes. They go back to the rock. To their hiding place, to their former life of misery but comfort. Comfortable misery, because sometimes misery can become comfortable because we become accustomed to it. But there's another type of person. They struggle still. Struggle's real, friend. But they still keep coming and sitting in this old pew. Sometimes I look at them, honestly, and I want to punch him right in the throat. Because sometimes I want it so bad for you. I want you to get it more than I got it. I want you to do better than I do. I want you to go farther than I go. That's what I'm saying that God has put on my heart. This next group coming is going to go farther. They're going to do stuff, man. They're going to take this thing places. And so I want it so bad for you sometimes. I just want to shake you. Just grab them and shake them. But you know what is encouraging? Even through the struggle, and even though I want to shake them, they're still sitting here. That's what David had. He was still in the communication, seeking God. God, I messed up. This was David, the warrior, the king, the one who was given the assignment, the holy royal assignment, to lead the lineage, the royal lineage, to Jesus Christ, the Messiah. This was David. This was the giant slayer. This was the one king who would unify an ethnic group of people from many tribes into one nation. This was David. King, lover, warrior, thinker. And so this was the man that penned this song. As far as we know, this was the man that wrote Psalm 27. We're getting a glimpse into the heart of this man when we read this song. So stay with me. We're going to somewhere. So I start thinking about David. As a youngster anointed to be king. You guys know the story, 1 Samuel 16. Samuel comes and God sends him. God says, I've removed my favor from Saul. I'm going to appoint a new king. I'm going to anoint a new king. So he sends him to the house of Jesse. And he says, it's one of Jesse's boys. The song, Jesse's Girl, wasn't it? I know Sal don't know that one. No, pass out. I said, that's not your time, was it, bro? No, but it was Jesse's boys. And so Samuel the prophet came and he was looking for the right one. And so Jesse would put out all of his prize young men, you know. All the big warriors. The ones he was proud of. The ones that looked the part. You know, the Schwarzeneggers, the strong guys, the warriors, the guys that look like kings. Because don't we really want to follow somebody that looks like a king? And so one by one, he would put them out. And the prophet would say, oh man, this has got to be the one. Look at this guy. Woo, he looks like a king. But one by one, God would say, no, that's not the one. And so they all ran out. There was no more. And so the prophet scratching his head, you know, maybe, did I not hear from God? And he says, do you have one more son? Oh, yeah, the little guy. There's a little guy out in the fields with the sheep. You know, he's a shepherd. You know, he's out with the sheep. A little bit different. He's young. He's probably not ready. He's too young. I didn't even think about this guy. So they brought the little guy in. I don't know how old he was. The Bible doesn't tell us. Scholars say probably between 10 and 13. I don't know. But that's what they say. But they brought this young guy in. It would have been like one of the guys on the youth retreat. How old are you, Cam? 11. Come here, Cam. He didn't want the big guy. The shepherd boy. And he walked in. God said, that's him. That's the one I come to anoint. That is the future king of all the people. That's him. You imagine what David must have felt like, a young boy that age, as he stood. I mean, when Corey wasn't much bigger than that. Look at him now, big old strong strapping buck. Thank you, Corey. So David, at a young age, was anointed to be king. And he would end up being called because he was a musician to play in the king's courtyard. And he was a loyal servant to the king. And then at one point, you know the story. They were at war and there was this mighty warrior Goliath. And who showed up to give his brothers some food, to be a servant to his brothers? It was the little shepherd boy again. And what did he do? He said, I'm not afraid of no giant. I ain't afraid of no giant. I ain't never scared. I ain't afraid of no giant. He got 5 stones and he went out and faced that Goliath and he slung that stone and he killed that giant. He hit him in the head and he took out his sword and he chopped off the giant's head. At this point, people think he might have been 2 or 3 years older. Still a pretty young cat. This was David. On top of the world, anointed. The Bible said he was good looking. It said, this is for you girls. You single girls, I don't want to lead anybody into temptation. The Bible said he had starkingly, in the Hebrew, starkingly beautiful eyes. It said he had a ruddy look, which means he was sort of like Cam again. Had sort of a, Cam, you David today, my brother. Said he kind of had, what that means is he kind of had a red, kind of reddish tint to his hair. He was kind of that red color. And he had awesome eyes, the Bible says. And it said he was a handsome man. This was David. He had it all, man. The whole package. He was good looking. He was strong. He was gifted. He was a deep thinker. He was a singer. He was a servant. He loved God. He was a warrior who took out giants. He was anointed to be king. He had destiny. This was David. A man on top of the world. On top of the world. Here's the question. Have you ever felt like you were on top of the world for a little while? And if you haven't, have you ever just said, man, I would like to be there. Just for a day. To be king. I just want to be there. I want to be that kind of dude. I want to be that kind of dudette. I want to be on top of the world. I got dreams. I got hopes. I want to be great things. I want to do awesome things. And when we're Cam's age, come here again, Cam. You just well, you're young. Get up and down, up and down. Here you go. Look at his eyes. Don't make a goofy face. No pressure. If I had an older boy, I'd use him, but I'm going to have to embarrass you. Look at these people. I'm being serious now. I want you to look at this young man. You see the brightness of his eyes? You see the brightness in his eyes. He has dreams. Look at each one of them. This is going to be a ministry lesson for you. Look at him. Look around the room and look at, make eye contact with different people. Not just the ones. Sometimes when we're nervous, we look at the ones we're comfortable with. I want you to look at the ones that are ugly. Now I really put pressure on him because if he, the first one he looks at, the person goes, all right, whoa, whoa, whoa. No, look at all of them. Here's the deal. Thank you. He has dreams. Have you been there? Man, I remember when I threw myself on this altar. And I said, God, there's got to be more than my life. I was a desperate man. And when he strengthened me and when he got me ready, I woke up with bright eyes again. And I had dreams again. And I was going to change the world for my God, for my King. I wanted to face Goliath. I wanted to kill the giant. Dreams. This was David. He was on top of the world. This king's own son took him in like a brother. And it looked like David's meteoric rise to the top would be a fairy tale. But guys, the struggle's real. I don't see any Prince Charmings in here, and I don't see any Cinderellas. I don't see any fairies floating around. The struggle's real. It didn't go like David probably thought it was going to go when he was a little boy anointed with the bright eyes, playing the harp, getting close to his God, loving his God, killing that giant, being taken into Saul's own household, marrying his daughter, best friends with his son. Boy, isn't life good? And he got hit in the jaw. Has anybody ever been hit in the jaw? Thank you, Corey. Corey's in the army now. He's probably been literally hit in the jaw a few times. We'll talk about that later, Corey. I ain't going to bust you out. Man, I'm glad to see you, Corey. So Saul, the king, who David was so proud to be under, became a jealous, paranoid, delusional man. The Bible says he had an evil spirit, a spirit that would trouble him. And he would get disillusioned. He would get paranoid. He would get scared that maybe people like David more than him. He just started to get insecure with himself and his leadership. Maybe they like David more than me. And so Saul didn't want David around anymore. I mean, not like not wanting David around, like, you know, if you want to break up, yes, no, maybe. I mean, like, not wanting him around, like I want to cut his head off, not wanting him around. Saul didn't want him around because this man who was dangerous to the enemy, Saul thought was dangerous to him. And so David became the man who was the great lover, the great warrior, the handsome, the poet, the thinker, the one with everything to give on top of the world, the giant slayer. Saul's killed his thousands, but David's killed his 10,000s. This man, David, became a man on the run. Have you ever been a man or woman on the run? Have you ever felt like you're on the run? His whole life became about running from place to place like some movie. It used to be a movie called The Fugitive or a show in the 50s. And I think Harrison Ford played him in a movie. Is that right? One-armed guy and all that. You all remember that? But a man who was never, like, or the Hulk. Remember the Hulk show in the 70s, right? Bruce Banner. A man on the run. And David would go place to place. And Saul would hunt him. He would be hunted down. And every time he would go to a place and he would hide for just a little while, he would be hunted. Have you ever felt hunted? Like you're just seeking a refuge. You're just seeking a comfortable place. You're just seeking a place to dream, a safe place to catch a night's sleep. Sometimes I just want to sleep, don't you? Sometimes I just want to rest, don't you? Sometimes I'll be honest with you in my flesh. Sometimes I just want to turn it off. God, why can't I? Hunted. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I saw a play last night. And I saw a talented young actor named Larry Lynn, who God's gave me the pleasure of trying to disciple. And there was a line in that play, and I'll tell you, you ought to go see it. Take your kids. It's over in Jenkins, Kentucky. 15 minutes from this church. It's outdoor drama, and they sell hot dogs and popcorn. You can take the kids and sit outside, and it's a beautiful Appalachian summer night. And I saw this man act his heart out, but there was a line in that play that said this. Some things you can't run from. Sometimes you have to fight for your freedom. We've been running. We've been a people on the run. And you can run, and you can run. Sometimes you got to stand and fight. David was a running man. Cave to cave, place to place, wilderness to wilderness, city to city, looking for refuge. Nobody wanted him. He was too dangerous to have around. If I give this guy, I know this is the famous David. Everybody knows him. Everybody knows his song. He had his own theme song. He's like Josh. He had his own theme song. I'm jealous of that. He had his own theme song. He would come into town and the people loved him. He was popular with the people. And they would say, Saul has killed his thousands and David has killed his 10,000s. They would sing his song and they would chant his chant. And the kings and the rulers would say, I can't have this guy around. He's dangerous. The people will like him more than he likes me. Or even worse, Saul will bring his army and conquer my little people. We can't have a man this dangerous around. Sure, he's anointed. Sure, he's good looking. Sure, he's the total package. Sure, he's a warrior, but he's a dangerous man. So David wandered place to place. He went to a place called Nob when Ahimelech the priest, and you know the story about the shewbread and the holy bread, but I think about David's mind throughout this process. A hunted man, a running man, a man scared. Even the brave David, don't you think he was scared? He was running for his life. You don't run unless you're scared. He was a scared man. And I think about his mindset as he wrote these powerful songs, as he learned that the only friend sometimes you have is God. He learned so much, and he went to this temple, and he needed a weapon. To ask the priest, do you have any weapons? And the priest goes, no, this is a temple. We're priests. But wait, David, we've got an old relic. We got an old relic back here behind the altar somewhere. Let me go dig it out for you, David. See this sword, David? This was once a giant's sword. His name was Goliath, David. David took the sword. The last time that sword had been used by David to cut off a giant's head. And I just think of my own way as God talks to me, you know. On this journey, as we run sometimes from place to place, as we follow, as we try to figure this thing out, as we try to get through this life, and we try to do what God has called us to do, and we try to help people, and we really try our best, does sometimes He not just give us a little reminder, a little hope, David, I know you're on the run, and I know you feel lonely, but I want you to remember, friend, this sword is still for you, David. This legacy is still for you. This destiny is still for you. Don't be discouraged, David. There's still a giant sword with your handprint on it. Sometimes it's the little things. Sometimes it's a word from our children. Sometimes it's a word from a pulpit. Sometimes it's a word in a song. Sometimes it's a word from a stranger in a Walmart. Sometimes it's a wooden cross. You say, why do you give out wooden crosses? Because there's people on the run, and they need to remember that God has purpose for them. Sometimes this hard-headed, stubborn warrior preacher needs to be reminded. There's still a sword with his handprint on it. I can lay it down and I can run. But it only fits your hand. So David went encounter to encounter. Storm to storm, waiting. God, when is this destiny that you told me I would have? When is this time coming? Preacher, you told me I had destiny. You looked me in the eye and said I had purpose. When's it coming, preacher? I'm a hunted man. I'm a man on the run. When's it coming? When's the fairy tale, preacher? He fled to Gath. In 1 Samuel 21, he fled to Gath. He was in this town. This handsome, stunning warrior royalty had to act insane to save his life. They were going to kill him, and so he started to act like a nut, right? Freaking, they do that in prison sometimes too, don't they? That crazy, so nobody will mess with them. It's true. That's true. Muhammad Ali did that to Sonny Liston, and it worked. And Sal, that's even too old for you. This royalty, this stunning man of God, the giant killer, the hero of the people, had to act like insane just to live. Don't you think he was a desperate man? Don't you think he was a scared man? Waiting. Some of us in here may feel like you're waiting. Waiting for the next step, the next move, the next. Sometimes we wait. We just think God's going to open up the sky and send out a fairy. But we're waiting out the storm. He went to a cave in Adullam. Can you get the picture now? Running place to place. He went to a cave in Adullam to hide out. Maybe we're a hideout. So what do you mean? Now you're getting nutty on me. No, I've been nutty on you. He sent him to a cave to hide out. But God did something remarkable at that cave. He united him with 400 other people that the Bible said were debtors or rebels, or they used the word discontented people. Discontented people. In other words, people who just had a stirring deep down inside that there's got to be more. And he brought them together. All men and women on a run. Hide out, a shelter from the storm, a place to hide and lay low. Do you know what these 400 people became? They became the ones that would be the mighty men of David. He never forgot them. When he rose to power and he became a king at some point later, this was his war team. This was his army. This was his right-hand men and women. You know why? Because the people that will be with you in the storm will be with you in the good times as well. They're the people that will be with you in the end. We give too much credit to the good time and friends, the good, that when things are good. Listen, friends, when things are good, everybody wants to hang around. When things are good, I've been there. I've done that. I know that. When I used to have the big social party, man, I had so many friends. I thought, man, people would come. People would dress up. Man, it was a cool thing, man. You have a crowd, man, at my place. I call those people and say, you know what? My life's tore upside down. My family split apart. I need a place to crash for a little while. See how many say, yeah, come on over. My house is your house. See how many? Oh, they might placate you. They might say something nice and pat you on the back. See how many really be there. You want to know who your friends are? You see who's around when the storm's raging. You see who's around when you're on the run. You see who'll support you and have your back. I don't need any more bipolar friends. I don't need any more people that one minute love me and one minute don't want to talk to me. I need some people that'll have my back in the storm, on the run. I need some people. I need some people willing to look outside of themselves and say, David, we're with you, man. And we'll be with you in the end. Discontented people. There's nothing wrong with discontentment. Now, I know we should be satisfied in a sense with what God does for us. But what I mean by that is we should never get too comfortable where we are that we want to stay there. I'm not talking about a church or a building or a ministry. I'm talking about a spiritual state. We're on a journey, friend. I'm on a journey, friend. You better be on a journey, friend, because Jesus said, follow me. He didn't say, stop right here. We're going to wait around a while. He said, follow me. So the way I read my Bible, I better be moving with him if I'm going to stay close to him. He said, follow me. If I get comfortable where I am and I stay, he's walking. We got a journey to go on. So God united 400 people, and he gave him a team. He gave him an army, the mighty men. This man tattooed around my back, this Benaiah, this lion chaser, discontented in a cave. All these mighty men, the mighty men of David, discontented men at a cave. We later sent others. But this was a powerful moment during the storm, during the wait. Will you be by my side during the wait? And I don't mean just me like a person. I mean it's Jesus. Will you be loyal during the storm? While you're waiting for it to all make sense. During the stall, during the wait. He roamed the countryside, 1 Samuel 23, and Saul hunted him day after day. The wait is real. The run, the life on the run. And David had opportunities to take things in his own hand. We have opportunities to take things in our own hand, like Abraham. Well, I'm just going to do things my way. Oh, God, this is too much of a wait. I'm going to hurry things up. Oh, I believe you. I believe I'm going to, God wants me to do this. He wants to do this. He wants to do this. We can't wait. David had opportunities to kill Saul. He had many, two opportunities at least, where it would have been easy. Saul could have been, David could have took things in his own hand. Isn't that my destiny, God? Am I not supposed to be king? Am I not David? Am I not anointed? I'm going to take this in my own hands. God, I'm tired of waiting. But no, David understood there's a time to wait. He understood what God was doing in the waiting. Waiting is not standing still. Waiting is not sitting down on your hands and letting life go by you. We're lion chasers. You know how we preach here. Waiting the way David waited was an action. He was an action. He was seeking God the whole time. He was running place to place, doing things, assembling an army, being ready, made spiritually ready, getting strong in God, getting closer to God, learning to rely on God. God was doing a work in the wait. God does a work in the wait. He does a work in your storm. It's there for a reason. There's a reason when Peter, when he said, Satan desires to sift you, Peter. He desires to shake you. There's a reason Jesus let him shake him, because God does something to our lives in the storm. He's preparing you in your storm for destiny. He's called you for great things. He's got to prepare you in the time of waiting. David waited. And he ended up in the house of his own enemies, the Philistines. Think about this. Talking about eating crow. The very people that David faced off with Goliath, he had to go as a man on the run and limp back to those very people. Don't burn your bridges, friend. If God calls you somewhere, you go, but don't burn your bridges. He had to eat some crow. He had to limp back to those people and seek refuge. And guess what? Even though he would have helped them, they didn't even want him either. Have you ever thought about this man, David? We think about all the good stuff about David. We think about the giant dying. But have you ever thought about this? A man that spent all those years on the run and nobody wanted him. Feeling like nobody wanted him. This was David. Scholars believe this period. You know, we get antsy. God, I've been called to do this. I better have an opening in a week. 8 years, scholars believe. And it's, look, I don't know the exact number. Don't know the exact number, but I've read many scholars, and most think about 8 years. 8 years, this guy ran. Waiting. That's a long time, friend. How old are you, Corey? Come here, Corey. Come here, Cam. Stand here side by side. 11, 19. 8 years. Did anybody know you were coming today? No. Oh, Dakota. Dakota knows everything. Dakota, Dakota, Dakota. Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. Eight years. A lot can happen in 8 years, guys. This guy had all the dreams, but he wasn't ready to be king yet. This guy ran, he fought, he cried, he was desperate, he sought asylum and place to place, and he figured out that nobody really loved him but God at times. That's how it felt. But in 8 years of learning and running and waiting, this man was ready to be king. If you're waiting, there's a reason you're waiting. It's not because God has forgot you. It's not because God hates you. It's not because your days are past. It's not because you're damaged goods. It's not because the mistakes of your past. It's not because you forfeited that. It's not because you're a bad person. It's because God is doing a work on you to make you ready for the next phase. A man without a home. Just stand there for a minute. None of this was planned. I really wanted somebody else to preach today. A man without a home. Finally, one day, Saul's sad, miserable existence. Sad to say, because he was once anointed king too. See, everybody has a destiny. Saul had his own destiny. I could preach that message. Not going to. But he had a destiny too, to be king. But he let the enemy talk him out of his destiny. Friend, you know, we talk good stories in here because I kind of, you know, God kind of wants to encourage you a little bit. Maybe sometimes we do a disservice because we don't preach about the Sauls enough. Saul had his own calling. But the Bible says the presence of God left him. Friend, you could better quit messing around. What a sad thing to say. An anointed king of God who played around too many times and the very presence of God left him. And he died a miserable man not knowing God. This is serious. That's why I care so much. Because Saul was anointed at one time just like David. So everybody in here is anointed. Are you Saul or are you David? Do with it? You're going to squander it? You're going to be subject to your own paranoia and insecurities and same old stuff day after day? Or will you be a man after God's own heart? That was all for free. They didn't even know the notes. Finally, Saul's sad life came to an end. And this man, now David, thank you, Cam. The dreamer, thank you, dreamer. No, you're still David. Because now you're bigger. Corey, you're a good-looking boy. You got that ruddy complexion like David. You and Cam, man, you guys are a perfect team. I couldn't have planned it any better. Isn't he a good-looking boy? I'm proud of him. I know they're going to clap. They got to clap, right? That family loves you. And this family loves you. I know that. They know that. Now this man was ready. 8 years on the run, he had waited, and he had learned to rely upon God. He did go home, and he did fulfill his destiny. He unified. Hey, look, there were still battles to fight. There was still a sword to hold. There were still wars to war. I like what my boy said the other week. And the more... Ain't no more battles to fight anymore. There's always battles to fight. There's always war to war. There were wars he had to still fight. There were tests he still had to pass. There were things that he had to still do. But he went home ready now. The wait was over. The storm was over. And he went home ready to unify his people and to become the king of Israel. That was David. The one who would be the royal blood lineage to the next and true unifying king, Jesus Christ. 8 years on the run, he was ready. Thank you, Corey. And you are a warrior, and you are a musician, and you are a deep man. So, why the wait? If we've established it for all of us, there are times like that, times on the run, times when things don't make sense, times when we feel, I'll be honest, and this is the person in life, I mean, you know, and my wife and my father and lots of people, but honestly, this little girl right here, I probably bounce more off of than anybody. I don't know why, it's just the way it is. It's just the way God made us as brother and sister. We don't always talk about goofy stuff. Sometimes we do, but we're not that kind of, we don't really have that kind of relationship. I mean, if they're going to talk goofy stuff, it's probably going to be my wife and my sister. I mean, we don't really watch movies and things. We don't really do that. The only thing we talk about usually is pretty serious stuff. Kind of weird like that, isn't it? And I said, if we're not careful, sometimes we can be like in that scene in Forrest Gump. You're laughing, Larry. It's a good movie, Larry. You say, where is he going to go? How is he going to tie up Forrest Gump somewhere? There's a scene in Forrest Gump. How many have seen that movie? I hope you watched the TBS edited version. Lord, forgive them. There's a scene where they're running, they're following. You know the running scene where he runs all across the nation and he ends up getting the Nike shoes and the Have a Nice Day t-shirt and all that. You know, he's just running. He's a man on the run. And he really don't know why he's running. But he's running. And what happens? Kind of like Abdullah. People just start following him. They just start running behind him. And if you watch the camera angles as they go across the whole West Coast and those fields of grain and those desert skies, you see just a group of people running. And there's old Forrest right out front. And he stops. And everybody stops. He's going to speak. He's going to speak. What wisdom. We've been following this man across the whole nation. What wisdom will he impart to us right now? You guys know the scene? They're all standing around. Shh, 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 shh. What's he going to say? And he goes, I think I'll go home now to Greenbow, Alabama. But here's a very serious point in that. It's a funny part in the movie. But what about all those people been running behind this cat? Have you thought of that? I mean, I know it's a light movie and we don't think about stuff like that. But wonder what they thought. What do you mean you're going home? I've been running after this vision. I've been running after this dream. I gave up everything because I believed in this thing. I've been running, man. What do you mean you're going home on us now? I've been running. I left my job. I left my family. What do you mean? You can't quit now, man. If we're not careful, we could end up feeling that way. This is what I came here for. Feeling sorry for ourselves. And not realizing that it was all about the journey all along. That during the wait, during the run, God was doing work on me and you. To prepare you and me and all these people for what he's getting ready to do in our lives to a hurting world. It allowed him to do many things to wait. One, it allowed him to learn to rely on God. If he would have ascended to the throne right after being anointed, right after being so handsome, right after playing the harp, right after all the women wanted to be with him, right after killing the giant, if he'd ascended to the throne, he'd have been a cocky dude. Another word for that, he'd been a prideful dude. He'd have been full of himself. I saw another quote this week. God has to break a man before he can use a man. He had to be ready. He had to be to know and learn that you have to learn how to rely on God. He had to be stripped of everything so he would know what it's like to only rely on God. Because the battle he had ahead, the battle you have ahead, friends, the battle for our souls, of our communities and our families, the hurting, the lost, the people we've been called to go touch, the people Jesus cares about, the outcasts, the loners. Those people need you, and they need Jesus. And to really reach them, you're going to have to be able to dig deep and understand that sometimes it'll feel like God's your only friend, because the religious folk will throw you aside because they have no need for you anymore, because you offer them nothing anymore, because you aren't cool anymore. It's all right to go to the cool church, but it's not all right sometimes, or it feels lonely sometimes when you're the outcast church. Because you're willing to love people nobody else wants to love. Religion don't want you no more then, friend. Religion don't want what it can't own and what it can't control. Religion don't want what it can't own and it can't control. And they never could own Jesus Christ, and they never could control Jesus Christ. And so they put him on a tree. And he told me to pick up my cross and follow him so they might put me on a tree too. So I got to know what it's like to only rely on Jesus. And I pray to God that there's 400 men and women gathered in Abdullah, gathered around, that'll go together and fight that fight. But if not, I've learned to rely on him alone. God did other things to David on the wait. He assembled a team around him of like-minded discontents who would follow him all the way to the end and remain loyal to him to the end, and even help get his son on the throne, Samuel. Saul, forgive me. Solomon. It allowed him to be ready for the hard tasks ahead. There's going to be good times ahead. There's going to be joy unspeakable ahead. There's going to be freedom ahead. But there's battles to fight, friends. There's grapes like you can't believe in that land. There's milk and honey flowing in that land. But there's giants in that there land. And I don't know about you, but one thing I've learned on the run, and one thing I'm learning on the run, and one thing I've learned on the wait and in the storm is this. I'm not scared of no giant. I'm not scared of any giants, because my God will be with me if nobody else will. So the wait, friend, is real. The run is real. And so maybe if you're in here, maybe you're like me. Maybe sometimes you feel that way. Maybe you feel sometimes like you're stuck. Like you know God has spoke destiny to you, and maybe some of you, or most of you, maybe all of you have been to an altar. I mean, this is the South, right? Everybody calls themselves Christian. And maybe, you know, you feel that way, but there's something in you that just feels stuck. You feel like that car, or that, I got a Jeep, I don't get stuck. If Dale White was here, he's got some old kind of thing, and it gets stuck. Dale, if you're watching at the beach, Jeep who? But maybe not everybody has a Jeep. And maybe some of you feel stuck. Maybe some of you feel like you're waiting or stalled. Or just, what's next? God, what's next? I want more. We all want more. But what's next? I mean, what happens in life, we get these goals and these things, and are good things, and we accomplish them. And I can tell you all about that. That was the story of my life. But we accomplish it, then what's next? Waiting. So here's the question. You feel like that's you today? Do you feel you're waiting? Maybe don't even know what you're waiting on. I'm going to leave you with this scripture, and then we're done. I'm talking to us. From Isaiah, you know the scripture. It's on every t-shirt, tattoos, everything. Isaiah 40:31. You can probably pull that up if you want it, but everybody knows it. They that wait upon the Lord shall, not maybe. Don't quit. Wait. You feel stuck. You feel stalled. You feel like you're in a storm. You don't feel which way to go sometimes. You're not sure what to do. Don't quit. Wait. Keep moving. Shall. Not maybe. Not might. Not some of them. But all that wait shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run. Oh, you're on the run. I'm on the run sometimes too. But we shall run and not be weary. We're going somewhere, folks. You're going somewhere. Just don't sit down and quit. Saul's looking for you. He's coming to destroy you. The enemy comes to seek, kill, and destroy you. Keep running and don't you quit. Don't get tired. Those shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You on the run? This preacher knows what it's like. I heard Regan say something pretty powerful. If nobody else, I know he's got a lot of call in his life. If for nobody else, that man was called to help me because he helps me. His very presence helps me in ways he never understands. He told me something sometime. He said, you know what? Many of the times I was in jail, they would bring you this counselor to help you with drug rehab or whatever. He said, and this is no insult to anybody else. I'm just saying this was Regan's story. That's what's a powerful thing to do on Monday night. They get like-minded people around to share their stories. Because I can preach you straight from the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit can use me to touch you. But there are places you've been, I've not been. But other people have. Regan said, first thing they'd do is they'd sit down and say, well, I've never used a drug, but I'm here to tell you how to get off of them. And he said he'd scratch his head and say, I ain't listening to another word. Pretty much, that's paraphrasing. You're not looking at some shiny vessel here, unbroken. You're looking at a man that has messed up a lot, that has run a lot, and honestly, at times, still runs. But who's been saved by grace, who is a man who loves the King of Kings. And no matter, even when I mess up daily, still communicates with him. Say, I'm running. I'm running too sometimes. But don't quit. God's doing something in us. And if you don't quit, you'll get strong. Because you're meant to soar. You're meant for more. You'll run. You'll not get tired. Because we're going somewhere. You're going somewhere. Each and every one of you are going somewhere. You're special to God. You're called with a purpose. There are no second class in God's kingdom. Thank you for your attention. If every head would bow, we're done. If you're in here right now, every head bowed, nobody looking around, you be honest enough to say just this. Say, you know what? Preacher like you. And I've been honest with you. I hope you'll be honest with me. God, I'm out of here sometimes. But say, you know what? Sometimes I feel like I'm stuck. Sometimes I feel like I'm waiting. It's just, I'm stuck sometimes. And I just wonder where I'm going. Sometimes I question, where am I going, God? Where am I going? What am I doing, God? Is your word true, God? Are these promises going to come? If that's you, just raise your hand with me all over this room. I see your hands. And I don't judge you because my hand is raised right now. My hand is raised right now. My hand. I'll be honest, this preacher lately has felt like, I'm just going to be real with you. I felt like I've been hiding out in a cave in Abdullah. I felt pretty lonely. I'll be honest with you. That's me being a weak punk, I guess, but I'm just going to be real with you. I feel like I've been in a cave hiding out lonely. I feel that's just me honest, being honest with you right now. But I want to know, maybe there's some other discontented people who'll join me in the cave. And we'll get strong, and we're not going to quit. And we're going to strengthen like eagle's wings. And we're going to run, and we're not going to be tired. And we're going to walk, and we're not going to faint. Last time I'm going to ask, every hand that was raised, there were so many, put them up high. Just put them up high. Just put them up, keep them up. And if you have to switch hands, switch hands. I see you, but God sees you. Desperate men and women on the run. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask people to stand here in just a second. And I just want you to come to the cave with me. I need you to pray with me. Hey, we're going to pray with you too. But I really need prayer today. I'm going to be at this altar too, so I'm going to pass this mic off in just a minute. And I'm inviting you to the cave. I'm inviting you to the cave of the cross. I'm inviting you to a place where discontented people can be joined and loved on and get up strong. So when I count to three, I want everybody to stand. And I want you to join me here. I want you to join me in Abdullah. Most of all, I want you to get strong today and realize that this wait has been for a purpose. Are you ready? One, two. Don't let the devil talk you out of it. Come on, come on, come on. Three. Just come on all over this room. Just come on all over this room. All over this room. All over this room. Yes, come on. Come on, I see you. Come on. All over this room. Make room. Filter around this altar. Just filter up this way, guys. We want to make plenty of room. Just make your way around this altar. God loves you. God loves you. I'm getting ready to pass this off. I'm getting ready to pray. I need prayer too. Hey, if you're all right, if everything's good with you, and you're pray with somebody else. Pray with somebody else. Pray with me.